Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And frankly, you are not going to believe what you are going to hear today. In fact, that's probably why you should subscribe to every episode, because sometimes I don't even know what's coming down the pike. But today I get to stay with a wonderful friend of mine in North Carolina, because y'all know North Carolina realtors are the best. Rosemary, tell them what it's like down there in Fayetteville and say hello.
Well, hello. It is amazing right now down in Fayetteville. We're experiencing some great growth. So we are actually going to get a Houston Astros farm team here in the next few years. They're actually here playing in Bowie's Creek, but they are coming
serious?
To Fayetteville. They are. Yes, I'm serious.
I'm
so excited because I'm a baseball fan. I'm a baseball girl like you guys. I was a little envious of your trip recently.
Yeah, you can be jealous because I love baseball too. We had to go see the Astros in August. Woo-hoo.
There you go.
All right. So tell them how long you've been in real estate and anything else they need to know besides, well, we should tell them if they didn't already know, Fayetteville is one of the reasons North Carolina is the nation's most military-friendly state.
It is. We are host to the largest military base in the United States, Fort Bragg, of which I was a proud Army wife at one point and a proud Army daughter at another, which is what brought me to Fayetteville. But we do host the largest body of military folks in the state of North Carolina and in the United States. So, yeah, I'm proud. I'm so proud of our military. So thank you for that shout out.
Oh, well, you know what? We love our military and we do everything we can to make sure they're aware of all their benefits and protect them as much as we can on the real estate side.
Yes. And that's exactly kind of what my story we'll talk about a little bit today.
Oh, perfect segue. So, of course, you are a loyal subscriber to the podcast, so you probably already know the two rules. But in case somebody is in Rosemary's world and is just now listening, I only have two ground rules. One is if there's guilty people involved, just make up a different name for them. And then you can use any salty language you want except for the F-bomb, GD, or see you next Tuesday, because as a good Southern lady, I have limits. So with that being said, honey, I cannot wait to hear what you have to tell.
Well, so I listed a home last year around this time, and it had tenants in it. So the tenants made the house available for me to go visit, and I go and I can't really take pictures because it's not exactly the home that you want to photograph. And so long story short, we go through several months of fighting to try and get it ready to take pictures, but we get it on the market anyway with some stale rental photos, and we get it listed. Well, they decide not to let a prospective buyer into the house one time. So my client said, you know what, we're not going to do this anymore. You're on a month-to-month lease, and so we're going to have to ask you, you know, it's time for us to be able to sell our home without any foolishness, definitely foolishness. So they decided that, you know, now is just the time for you to go ahead and vacate our home, and we're going to put it on the market vacant. So we take it off the market, and the tenants move on, and about a month later, I get a phone call, and I'm thinking it's a buyer potentially wanting to purchase this home because she's asking me about the home. She's called me, she's emailed me, she's texted me. I'm thinking I'm about to speak with a very, very ready buyer for this property. So I call her back, and it's not the property that she's interested in, it's the tenants. And she wants to know if they lived there. And I said, well, yes, they were tenants there, but I'm going to have to defer you to the seller for any further information, because what she told me just blew my mind, Lee. I've never heard a story like this, but the tenants actually made an offer on her home and were due to close on it, moved in early, did a buyer possession before closing, and moved in with only a security deposit and canceled the contract 2 days before close.
Oh.
Right. But here's the sticky part of it all. This is the part that just blows my mind. They refused to move out.
Oh.
They,
Like that movie with Michael Douglas, Pacific Heights. Do you remember that?
Right, yes. Kind of like that. Yeah, so they're there. They're not leaving. So this is a young military couple. They don't have the funds to fight it, per se, but so they've got to go hire an attorney to get them out. But so she's asking me all these questions. She's going through this scenario, and I can just hear the pain in her story, but there's not much I can do because she has an agent. So I tell her, I'm sorry, here's the seller's information, you know, please let me know if I can help you further with anything I can help you with. So she calls me in the middle of April and says, they're not out. What do I do? Jeez. I don't have an agent anymore. What do I do? And I said, well, now you're going to have to go and have them, you know, the sheriff, you've got to go file that 10-day extension, or the sheriff comes and says, you have got to go. Whatever's in this house, if you can't grab it, it's not coming with you.
We get the hell out. We lock, we change in the locks.
Exactly. Right, we change in the locks. They finally get them out. Now, to my client's home, they did over $10,000 worth of damage to it in 18 months. Yeah. To this young couple's home, they've already cost them a move out to an apartment. They've cost them repairs. They've cost them paid mortgage payments plus apartment payments, and now attorney's fees. And now they're going to have to go in and clean up the mess that they made in their home, because they have about, it turned out to be about $1,700 worth of damages in 35 days or so.
And why? What is wrong with people that they would do that?
Because they didn't really care, because it wasn't their home. They knew it wasn't going to be their home. They just knew that it was going to be a place that they could put their stuff until they could figure stuff out, basically. They knew all along that they couldn't buy this house. The reason I wanted to tell this story so badly is because it really takes into consideration how careful we have to be, both as agents and but as consumers, as to who we actually decide to let into our homes. Mm-hmm. You don't always know someone's intent. So I just felt like their story was very important to tell. But there's a second part to their story, and it's the unfortunate part to their story. And I am a party to this part. So I did end up listing the home later on in May. We go under contract right away. It's in the perfect price point. It's in the hottest price point of our market. Everything's going along great. Everything's smooth. Inspections, negotiations, we're 4 days before closing, and I get a call from the buyer's agent. And guess what that buyer is doing?
They better not be terminating right before closing.
Terminated right before closing. So he made an offer that if they were to drop their home by $10,000, he'd be happy to buy it. So he has a mover barrel. They need to sell this home. They know the story. The buyer knew the story that they'd just been through. And here he turns and kind of does it to him again. So this poor couple have just been devastated. So it's unfortunate, because I could have never foreseen this coming up. But at least we didn't let them move in.
Right.
But I think it just shows that sometimes that people's intent, and we've had this issue here lately of people making offers on homes with no intent to ever purchase them. So you have to be careful. You have to, you know who you're dealing with, and you have to know what lenders that people are working with, verify them. It's scary.
Well, and it brings up a couple of other important points, one of which is, you as a homeowner or a home buyer, you probably look at people and take them at face value and think they're lovely. But we, mm-hmm. as your realtor, if we've been around the block a few times, we're the ones that say, no, you do not need to do early possession, because things can go sideways. And when your buyer and seller meet and they like one another, they think it's all going to work out. But we have often seen people play this kind of a game, and you just don't know who's a good guy and who's a bad guy. So as your realtor, that's our job. We got to give the bad answer to your question, because we have to tell you worst case scenarios. Which
exactly. Exactly. And that was poor lesson for this young couple, is they felt like the first time around, nobody was in their corner. At least the second time, they felt like there was some protection, because we didn't do a buyer possession before closing. Yeah. And we did increase earnest money and due diligence money. But that's the other way to protect yourself from people who are not truly interested in purchasing a home, is mm-hmm. to make sure they're willing to lose some of their cash as well if they decide to walk away. And buyers, you know, don't always understand that. Why are the sellers asking for so much money Well, in this situation, this particular seller will definitely want more money the next time because they don't want to have to go through the same situation without any kind of benefit to them for having removed their house off the market again. So I think, yeah, you hit that on the spot. It's just when we tell you things, it's not because we're making them up, because I certainly couldn't have made this story up. I just think that consumers have to understand that we are definitely, our home buyers and our home sellers are people who make memories in their houses. We're trying to protect those memories within those walls by protecting them and giving them the best advice we can give them.
And by the way, if you're a realtor or a regular person listening in another state, in North Carolina, when you write an offer on a house, you're asked to make a due diligence deposit in addition to your normal escrow or earnest money, and that due diligence is non-refundable. And so a good, solid professional realtor is going to tell their buyer client, this is how you do show the seller you are operating in good faith. But it is very frustrating as a realtor who's representing a seller when you have a buyer agent that argues about due diligence money, because often it's the agent for the other party that's not quite understanding how critical this is. It's another reason to continue going to classes so you can hear these kinds of stories and learn how to advise your clients well.
And a lot of states don't have that. So I know in particular Massachusetts has a law, I think, that you can't just walk away for any reason. But in North Carolina, you can walk away for any reason or no reason at all. And that seller has been off the market for 30, 35, 45 days. And there used to be no recourse for them. And due diligence was actually a recourse for them that I applaud the state of North Carolina for providing.
Oh, me too. Me too. And now I'll also point out one more thing before we wrap up your episode that I think is critical. It's that the buyer used the seller's backstory against them.
Yes.
So we were hard with our clients to make sure they know, keep your mouth shut. Don't tell anybody the details until the money's in your bank account and it's all done. Because especially in a social media world, and we tell our kids and grandkids that everything you post is forever, but our clients often forget that if they're discussing the drama they're going through online, it's very easy for the other side to Google them, get the story, and then use it to their advantage, to their disadvantage. So just keep your
mouth
shut. Call us. Call your realtors.
Right.
Call Rosemary and say, girl, you're not going to believe this mess. And she'll say, tell me, but don't tell anybody else.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's kind of the lesson this young couple learned, is that, you know, it's just one of those unfortunate things that happened and happened again, and they're not going to have the opportunity for it to happen again, unfortunately. But they, I didn't want them to leave this home with the thought that all buyers are bad and all agents are bad, because it's not even that the agents were bad. It's just nobody knew that this would ever happen. You couldn't have ever assumed this would happen, but it prepares agents for the fact that, yes, this can indeed happen, and sellers, it can indeed happen. So please be very careful and make sure you hire an agent who's invested in education and invested in making sure that they're on top of their game.
And you should ask every agent that you interview, hey, what's the craziest situation you've seen? And ask them how they handled it, because a true professional keeps the client in communication, and then you drink the wine after closing, not before.
Yes.
So if anybody needs professional realtor advice in Fayetteville or anywhere else that is military attached, because I know that the military realtors have their own very tight network, how can they reach you?
So you can reach me by calling 910-984-6794, or just by going to my website. It's rosemaryberger.com, and my last name is a little bit different, so it's B-U-E-R-G-E-R. But I make myself pretty out there, so you can find me pretty much anywhere just by Googling my name. But I do have a great network of military wives who are agents in the other areas. So I'm always connected to most of the other bases. So I'd be happy to refer you to someone that could be in your area.
And by the way, extra credit that your website has #morethanhouses on it. Well, what? That's pretty
yes.
awesome.
I love that. Since I've been involved with NCR and North Carolina Realtors and RPAC, I have been aware of more than houses and more than just listing and selling. And I love that phrase. And so I thought I'm going to incorporate that into my website. So.
Well, it's absolutely who you are, and that's why I send referrals to you, and I will continue to do so. But thank you for coming on the podcast, and never fear, my sweet listeners. I know y'all didn't write down her last name when she said it. It's going to be in the show notes for this episode, so I'll keep things easy for my public. And if you've got your own crazy story to share about anything related to real estate, and you're a realtor, broker, investor, inspector, lender, or maybe you're a normal person who has something to tell on our profession, give me a shout at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks. Subscribe for more episodes, and we will see you next time. Thank you, Rosemary.
Thank you, Lee.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.